As of last week, there have been 67 confirmed cases of H5N1 avian flu in humans and one death around the country. There's also been at least one case in Wisconsin when a poultry farm worker in Barron County caught the illness.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention report that more than 150 million birds nationally have been infected or killed by the virus. The epidemic is causing egg shortages at supermarkets and restaurants around the country and aggravating inflation.
So far, the outbreak hasn't sparked a human epidemic, but doctors worry about that possibility. To learn more about the avian flu epidemic, what it means for farmers and others in Wisconsin, we turn to Dr. Peter Halfman. He's an assistant professor at UW-Madison's Department of Pathobiological Sciences in the School of Veterinary Medicine. Peter, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
People are probably most familiar with the impact of avian flu when it comes to the egg prices, the signs they're seeing in grocery stores now. What is it about this virus that has been so quick to spread and so lethal for chickens?
Influenza viruses replicate in humans and the respiratory tract, and this do the same thing in birds, but also in birds they replicate in the GI tract, so the intestinal tract. And if you've ever parked under a tree in summer here, you can see how messy birds are, and that virus is being expelled in high quantities in bird droppings and can spread really quickly in birds. And it is a very highly pathogenic virus that's in birds too. Within a couple days, 24 hours, bird populations will die off if they get infected with this virus.
Is it normal for an avian influenza to spread among so many different kinds of birds? I look at reporting and we're seeing eagles, mallards, ducks, swans, a wide variety, not just our domestic poultry. Do avian influenza spread among different bird species so commonly? It seems like it's a heavier lift, at least for viruses going from different mammal species to one another.
That's right. From birds to mammals, it's more difficult, but within bird species, it's fairly relatively easy to transmit. You can imagine you have these shorebirds, ducks, geese, bird droppings are in the water, bird droppings full of virus. So the virus can get spread fairly easy with the droppings between all different bird species. And then you have the raptors that are picking up dead mammals that have the virus in them and becoming infected that way.
Given that we live in a world where wild birds kind of go wherever they want, what kind of precautions can those larger operations in particular take?
No, you're exactly right. It is difficult to get this virus under control, and it's obvious. We've lost 150 million birds just in the United States within the last couple years since the virus came in. The federal government is suggesting for vehicles that come onto farms, wash that vehicle down so you don't spread the virus from farm to farm. People working on those farms should have dedicated clothes that don't ever leave the farm facility so you're not transporting the virus from one farm to another, especially if you're in the veterinary world. If you're going farm to farm checking on birds, you could potentially be transferring this virus farm to farm all the time.
And when people think Wisconsin and livestock, they think cows, of course. But I looked at the latest census of agriculture, something on the order of 16 plus million chickens in Wisconsin, counting layers, ones grown for meat and some others. This is a significant issue. Even if we weren't worried about mammals, the impact on chickens is a big deal for Wisconsin, right?
That's correct. And, you know, northern Wisconsin had two outbreaks recently, and that was the cause of the first human case in Wisconsin, was a poultry worker becoming infected from an infected flock.
Getting back to advice, we have a lot of people in the state with backyard chickens, and we might be talking, you know, one to maybe low two digits numbers. Advice for them, they might think, well, we're not on a big operation where it's going to spread among a bunch of different animals. They need to be thinking about this too, right?
That's right. I have a sister-in-law who has about a dozen hens. And I've given her advice too, especially after the gentleman in Louisiana who had a backyard flock became infected, and he actually passed away because of the virus.
We're going to get to our mammals in just a minute, but for birds in particular, what kind of monitoring do we have, and what kind of monitoring do we need?
So once the virus gets into the flock, it's very easy to recognize what's going to happen next. Again, the virus is extremely deadly, so you're going to notice your birds becoming sick right away, and you're going to find sick and dead birds in your backyard within a couple days. Contact your local USDA, contact the DNR here in Wisconsin, report that you do have sick birds, and they'll have send someone out for testing and get back to you of what is causing that disease in your birds.
Is there any hope of either a vaccine that we could use for livestock or a treatment, an antiviral, I guess, treatment that might be effective?
So antivirals are typically outlawed for poultry farms, mainly because of the ability for this virus to adapt and then become drug resistant. So we would lose our antiviral drug ability in the human population. There is a big push for vaccines, but just like in the human population, every year people are getting a seasonal vaccine because this virus mutates so fast. So it'd be really hard to try to keep up with the changes in the virus with the different vaccines and what the cost would be for that.
We're talking about the ongoing avian flu epidemic affecting chickens, wild birds in the United States. Peter Haffman is an assistant professor at UW-Madison's Department of Pathobiological Sciences in the School of Veterinary Medicine. Peter, let's turn to mammals now. There's been concern about this virus showing up in cows, dairy cows in particular, I believe, not clearly as lethal or quick to spread among our dairy cows. What do we know right now?
Well, luckily in Wisconsin, as far as we know, the herds are free, but we currently had close to 1,000 dairy herds in 16 different states contract the virus. And what people have noticed when it gets into a dairy farm is that milk production just plummets in these cows. And that's a huge economic loss to dairy farmers once the virus is established in their dairy herds.
The last time I talked to someone about this, one of the key factors people were pointing toward was shared milking machines. You know, you milk one cow in this machine, you milk another one, and that might be a point of transmission. Is that still one of the main points of potential concern?
That is, but experimentally, we can't repeat that in the in the research field. So there are a lot of questions out there how this virus is being transmitted from dairy herd to the next dairy herd. And then just this week, another introduction of a different type of bird flu was introduced from birds to cows in Nevada. So we thought this was a one-off last year around this time, but we see now birds can be introducing this virus possibly multiple times to dairy herds.
Cows not the only mammals showing up with this, some wild animals, and then I've seen some reports of cats dying of this avian flu. What is going on? How is that getting transmitted to maybe a pet cat?
First off, there's the raw milk. Raw milk from an infected cow is full of virus. So on farms, letting the cat lick up the milk that's on the floor, the parlor floor, is not a good thing to do. In LA County, there was raw milk that was for sale for human consumption. It was tainted with virus. The pet owners fed it to their cats and they became infected too. The other issue is unintentional raw meat. Some cat food is made with raw turkey. Turkeys become infected with H5N1 bird flu. Since it's raw meat, the virus is still alive and cats have become infected with raw food.
So do you have advice for pet owners avoiding raw food, potentially? Other thoughts if people want to make sure their pets, their cats in this case, don't contract this?
Yeah, I would not feed my cat any kind of raw turkey, raw chicken food. I would make sure it's not a raw. And then just don't consume raw milk. Don't let your cats consume raw milk either.
Transmission to humans seems pretty rare, and with one exception, I think just one fatality that we know of so far. What is the state of potential transmission to humans right now?
We've seen 67 human cases so far, and like you said, it is a one-off. It is from the animal to human, and then there is no human-to-human transmission right now, which is a good thing. The one concern, again, is the virus likes to mutate. There was a case in British Columbia, Canada, where a teenager became infected. It was a long infection over 2 weeks. And what scientists noticed that the virus has started to mutate to like the human host a lot better. So we know some mutations, and these mutations make the virus replicate better in humans. And we can see those mutations occur in this British Columbia case. So that's what we're kind of watching out for. Also, when the bird flu virus goes from birds to other mammalian species, it wants to adapt. And all of this transmission within cows, birds to cats, birds to cows, we're just making the virus want to mutate more. So that's what we're kind of, that's what we're watching out for. And that's what the surveillance program now is in the United States. Anyone that gets an influenza infection, it gets sequenced right away. And we can tell definitively then if it's H5N1 or if it's just a regular seasonal virus.
A question that occurs to a lot of people, I think, is, well, we eat eggs, we eat chickens, and we drink milk. Are there risks of transmitting this disease by consuming these animal products?
If it's well cooked, if it's pasteurized milk, there is no concern. We're not seeing that happen. Like I mentioned with the cats in the raw milk, it does happen in mammalian species like cats. We have not had a case of humans becoming infected by drinking raw milk. But if it can happen in cats, can happen in the lab, I would advise not drinking raw milk.
In the presidential administration transmission, there have been some CDC websites and reports that have been taken down briefly, temporarily, or ongoing. Have you, in dealing with this avian flu, run into any issues with information sharing?
Funny you should mention it. Today, we did hear that a news article was taken down. It was concerning the transmission of bird flu between cats and humans. We just heard about it. We don't know what the information is, but if this virus does transmit from birds to cats and then cats to humans or vice versa, we really should know about that, and so should the public. Also, how many herds are infected? How many birds have been depopulated because of this virus? Those statistics would be great to know. And what states have dairy cows that are infected? All that information should really be out in the public. And I hope that continues with the USDA and other organizations. It is really great information to have.
And of course, viruses don't respect international borders, neither do birds for that matter. How important is international cooperation and the flow of information from one country to another in tracking these diseases, potential mutations over the next coming months or years?
Well, that's how we got here. I mean, this was a virus 20 years ago that was in Southeast Asia only. And it has, with birds that migrate, has migrated all around the world with the birds. And the other issue is when birds from North America start to migrate to South America, these bird viruses can then transmit to sea mammals and cause massive die-offs and massive continuous replication in these sea mammals. So we should be watching what kind of mutations happen in sea mammals, just so we know that none of these mutations could affect humans.
Peter, thanks again for joining us today.
All right. Again, thanks for having me. Appreciate talking about this.
Peter Halfman is an assistant professor at UW-Madison's Department of Pathobiological Sciences in the School of Veterinary Medicine. He talked to us about the latest in the ongoing avian flu outbreak. If there are any people out there listening with backyard chickens or have chicken farms, love to hear from you, your experience, what kind of precautions you're taking as you hear this news. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.
Still ahead on Wisconsin Today, a new classical album is inspired by the Wisconsin landscape.
My piano compositions are very dynamic. They like to move, and they like to go somewhere. They like to take a journey.
It's the debut album called When We Were Bears. That's next from WPR News.